Numbers 22, 21 through Numbers 23. So Balaam arose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the leaders of Moab. But God was angry that he was going, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the road as an adversary against him. Now he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn in his hand, the donkey turned off from the road and went into the field, and Balaam struck the donkey to guide her back to the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path of the vineyards, with a stone wall on this side and on that side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed herself against the wall, and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further, and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam was angry and struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these 3 times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "It is because you have made a mockery of me. If only there had been a sword in my hand, for I would have killed you by now." But the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey, on which you have ridden all your life to this day? Have I ever been in the habit of doing such a thing to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed all the way to the ground. Then the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these 3 times? Behold, I have come out as an adversary, because your way was reckless and contrary to me." But the donkey saw me and turned away from me these 3 times. If she had not turned away from me, certainly I would have killed you just now and let her live. So Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the way against me. Now then, if it is displeasing to you, I will turn back." But the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men. You shall speak only the word that I tell you." So Balaam went along with the representatives of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab, which is on the Arnon border, at the extreme end of the border. Then Balak said to Balaam, "Did I not urgently send word to you to call for you? Why did you not come to me? Am I really unable to honor you?" So Balaam said to Balak, "Behold, I have come to you now. Am I really able to speak anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that only I shall speak." But Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kiriath Huzoth. Balak sacrificed oxen and sheep, and sent some to Balaam, and the leaders who were with him. Then it came about in the morning that Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal, and he saw from there a portion of the people. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Build 7 altars for me here, and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me here." Balak did just as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered up a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Stand beside your burnt offering, and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you." So he went to a bare hill. Now God met with Balaam and said to him, I have set up the seven altars, and I have offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Then the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, Return to Balak, and this is what you shall speak. So he returned to him, and behold, he was standing beside his burnt offering, he and all the leaders of Moab. And he took up his discourse and said, From Aram Balak has brought me, Moab's king from the mountains of the east, saying, Come, declare Jacob cursed for me, and come, curse Israel. How am I to put a curse on him upon whom God has not put a curse? And how am I to curse him who the Lord has not cursed? For I see him from the top of the rocks, and I look at him from the hills. Behold, a people that lives in isolation, and does not consider itself to be among the nations. Who has counted the dust of Jacob, or the number of the fourth part of Israel? May I die the death of the upright, and may my end be like his. Then Balak said to Balaam, What have you done to me? I took you to put a curse on my enemies, but behold, you have actually blessed them. He replied, Must I not be careful to speak what the Lord puts in my mouth? Then Balak said to him, Please, come with me to another place from where you may see them, although you will only see the extreme ends of them, and will not see all of them, and put a curse on them for me from there. So he took him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and he built seven altars, and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Then he said to Balak, Stand here beside your burnt offering, while I myself meet the Lord over there. Then the Lord met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, Return to Balak, and this is what you shall speak. So he came to him, and behold, he was standing beside his burnt offering, and the leaders of Moab with him. And Balak said to him, What has the Lord spoken? Then he took up his discourse, and said, Arise, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zippor. God is not a man, that he would lie, nor a son of man, that he would change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and he will not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. When he has blessed, I cannot revoke it. He has not looked at misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the joyful shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He is for them like horns of a wild ox. For there is no magic curse against Jacob, nor is there any divination against Israel. At the proper time it shall be said to Jacob, and to Israel, what God has done. Behold, a people rises like a lioness, and like a lion it raises itself. It will not lie down until it devours the prey, and drinks the blood of those slain. Then Balak said to Balaam, Do not curse them at all or bless them at all. But Balaam replied to Balak, Did I not tell you, whatever the Lord speaks, I must do? Then Balak said to Balaam, Please come, I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will be agreeable with God that you curse them for me from there. So Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor, which overlooks the desert. And Balaam said to Balak, Build seven altars for me here, and prepare seven bulls and seven rams for me here. And Balak did just as Balaam had said, and offered up a bull and a ram on each altar. John 5. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool which in Hebrew is called Bethesda, having five porticos. In these porticos lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, limping, or paralyzed. Now a man was there who had been ill for 38 years. Jesus, upon seeing this man lying there, knowing that he had already been in that condition for a long time, said to him, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into a pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." Immediately the man became well, and picked up his pallet, and began to walk. Now it was a Sabbath on that day. So the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, "It is a Sabbath, and it is not permissible for you to carry your pallet." But he answered them, "He who made me well was the one who said to me, 'Pick up your pallet and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Pick it up and walk'?" But the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, you have become well. Do not sin any more, so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away and informed the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on a Sabbath. But he answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in the same way. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all the things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will all be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. The one who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, a time is coming, and even now has arrived, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come out, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the bad deeds to a resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies about me, and I know that the testimony which he gives about me is true. You have sent messengers to John, and he has testified to the truth. But the testimony I receive is not from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the lamp that was burning and shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony I have is greater than the testimony of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, testify about me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me, he has testified about me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. Also, you do not have his word remaining in you, because you do not believe him who sent me. You examine the scriptures, because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is those very scriptures that testify about me. And yet you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you accept glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have put your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe in his writings, how will you believe my words? Second Corinthians 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in trickery, nor distorting the word of God, but by the open proclamation of the truth, commending ourselves to every person's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they will not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord and ourselves as your bondservants on account of Jesus. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen containers, so that the extraordinary greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying around in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who live are constantly being handed over to death because of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, "I believed, therefore I spoke." We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus, and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that grace, having spread to more and more people, will cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer person is decaying, yet our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comprehension. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Proverbs 26, 1 through 9. Like snow in summer, and like rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Like a sparrow in its fitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without cause does not come to rest. A whip is for a horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Do not answer a fool according to his foolishness, or you will also be like him. Answer a fool as his foolishness deserves, so that he will not be wise in his own eyes. One who sends a message by the hand of a fool chops off his own feet and drinks violence. Like useless legs to one who cannot walk, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like one who binds a stone in a sling, so is one who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that sticks in the hand of a heavy drinker, so is the proverb in the mouths of fools. Psalm 58. Do you indeed speak righteousness, you gods? Do you judge fairly, you sons of mankind? No. In heart you practice injustice. On earth you clear a way for the violence of your hands. The wicked have turned away from the womb. These who speak lies go astray from birth. They have venom like the venom of a serpent, like a deaf cobra that stops up its ears, so that it does not hear the voice of charmers, or the skillful caster of spells. God shatter their teeth in their mouth. Break out the fangs of young lions, Lord. May they flow away like water that runs off. When he aims his arrows, may they be headless shafts. May they be like a snail which goes along in slime, like the miscarriage of a woman that never sees the sun. Before your pots can feel the fire of thorns, he will sweep them away with a whirlwind, the green and the burning alike. The righteous will rejoice when he sees vengeance. He will wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, and people will say, there is certainly a reward for the righteous. There certainly is a God who judges on earth.